your Bibles, but you turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the passage of Scripture that we've been looking at in the last few weeks. We've already made reference to last Sunday's sermon, where we were looking at Paul's warning against sexual immorality, and as a result of that, a defense of biblical marriage and the importance of biblical marriage. This morning, we're going to look at the next verses, and we're going to see not love within marriage, but love within society generally, and in particular in the church. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands, as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. God will bless us, the reading of his words. I've been speaking on a Sunday morning about how we are to live as Christians while we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen how God moved at Thessalonica and how people turned from idols to serve the living and true God. But as with all churches, problems had begun to arise in the church of Thessalonica. And Paul writes this letter in order to point out to people where they need to correct certain things and where their priorities need to be. In a way, you can use these as tests of true Christianity. Are you walking properly with God? You claim to be a Christian, but are you walking with God? Alan and Brenda, in their testimony this morning, said that there are many things that test marriages today, but the Christian remains committed to marriage. And here, in this section, we're dealing with brotherly love. Love that we share among us. Do we, as Christians, love one another as we ought to love one another? During the last 50 years or so within evangelical Christianity, there seems to have been a tension. We are evangelicals, we believe the truth. And there are others who say, well, I'm a Christian, and therefore I do practical works. And there has been this tension, as if this group is right or this group is right. But in actual fact, both groups base their argument on the Word of God. And this morning I want to show that if we are Christians who hold to the truth, and to me that is the only foundation of Christianity, then inevitably we will show our love by our good works. People will be able to look at us and they will be able to see the good works that flow from us because of our correct faith and our correct understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many people who make their own decisions about Christianity. They say, God is love, and therefore he won't judge anybody else, or you can't judge me. If you're a Christian, you must love, and you mustn't be critical. Other people will say, but the Bible teaches, love your neighbor. Therefore, you have got to help me. And often we can be backed into a corner where it would seem that people have got the right understanding of Christianity and we are falling short. But friends, we are not to, if you like, practice what I might describe as folklore Christianity, ideas of Christianity that have built up through people's ideas. We are to practice biblical Christianity. And for those of us who love the teaching of Scripture, we have to face the reality of this passage. We love the great doctrines that God has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We thank God that Jesus Christ has paid the price of our sin. But how does that affect our living? How do we demonstrate in our day-to-day living that we are Christians? Now, James is often quoted as the practical teacher in the New Testament because he is the one who said that faith without works is dead. And he's often contrasted with Paul. Paul, who could argue about the great doctrines of Christianity. But here, we see Paul arguing for practical Christianity. There are three sections to this teaching that Paul gives this morning, and I see it a bit like, if you like, a sandwich. Two slices of bread and the fillings in the middle of that sandwich. The first slice you see in verses 9 and 10, where Paul effectively is saying that you show love within the context of the church. The middle of verse 9 also talks about, if you like, the content of the sandwich. And he spells out there how we are to live. We are to love one another at the end of verse 9. But the main practical emphasis, the filling of the sandwich, is in verse 11. Aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. And then the second slice of bread in this sandwich is verse 12, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Love for the church, witnessing to outsiders. How do we do it? Well, that's the filling in the sandwich. So let's look at this first slice. How do we show love within the church? And he is in effect announcing his main point. He says, now concerning brotherly love. And he says, you don't need me to teach you about this because God has already taught you about this. God the Holy Spirit. But it was for that reason that I read John 13 this morning. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, while he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he is also the servant king who was prepared to take off his outer garments and to take the form literally of a servant and to wash the feet of his disciples. And Paul is saying, God has shown you how you are to live and demonstrate practical love. But notice what he says at the end of verse 10, something that he says time and time again. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. As Christians, we should not become content and say, well, I've done it this far, I've reached this standard, that is enough. No, we are to keep going on. We are to keep improving. We are to keep serving one another. We are to keep humbling ourselves. And Paul is saying, keep working at it. Brothers and sisters, I thank God for the love, the practical love, that is already being exercised within our congregation. But situations change. People's needs change. We are to be aware of each other's needs. And we are to be practically demonstrating a concern for one another. A concern that, in a way, reflects the love of Christ. I will look at that in a little more detail in a few moments. But as folk grow older in the church, so they have needs. As young families come into the church, so they have needs. And we are to constantly be looking at how can I show Christian love. Let me give you an example. Maybe 50 years ago, a young Christian could have said to Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, I'm concerned for you. I'm going to show you practical Christian love. Every afternoon after school, I will come to your house and I will make sure that I carry in a bucket full of coal so it's there for you beside your fire. That would have been practical Christian love 50 years ago, wouldn't it? Would it be of any use today? In very few homes would it be of use. And Paul is saying here, you know, do it more and more. In other words, let's be realistic about how we love one another. Let us avoid a critical spirit towards one another, because that so easily comes up within the church. So Paul is saying here, we are to show love within the family of God. So let's look at the filling in this sandwich. In what way are we to show practical Christian love? Well, at the end of verse 9, Paul says this, to love one another. The beginning of verse 9, he uses the word Philadelphia, about practical love amongst the brothers. At the end of verse 9, he uses the agape word, the word that is used to describe God's love. And when Trevor prayed this morning, he made reference to the love that has been shown by the Lord Jesus Christ, where Paul in Ephesians 5 says to husbands, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And that is the word that Paul is using here. He is saying that Christian love has to be sacrificial love. It's not what do I get out of this? How does this benefit me? But rather, what am I to sacrifice in order that other people might be benefited? Now that might be on a financial level. It might be on a time level. It might be on work level. But the point is that Christian love has to be willing to lay down one's life for the good of others. But I want us to think of Christ's love this morning, because often people find it difficult to receive love, and people find it difficult to receive what others want to give to them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was in exactly the same position. He came to his own, and his own received him not. They didn't want him. They were Jews. They had their religion. They had their system. But when Jesus came into the world and John the Baptist announced him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Jewish leader said, we don't want him. We don't want this man. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now, you may be here this morning, a non-Christian, and you're saying, I will try my hardest, I will live as I believe a Christian should live, but I don't need the help of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says to you, I've come to you, even though you don't want me, because I want to show you that you need me. But Christ's love was unmerited. Let's be honest. There are some people it's easier to love than others, aren't there? And some people, they're about as friendly as a porcupine or a hedgehog. You try to cuddle them and they are all spikes. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, or that we are to love our enemies. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Perhaps you this morning feel as though you don't want Christ. You hate the idea that somebody else should die for you. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ wants to help you. But Christ's love was sacrificial love. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. As you demonstrate Christian love within the church and within the community, are you prepared to ask the question today, tomorrow, and the day after, how can I help other people? Now, you may not have the strength to help as you once did, but none of us is beyond a word of kindness. None of us, in a way, is beyond a telephone call. Because, friends, it's amazing how much it means to people. If they just hear a voice, or in this day of emails and texts, to actually hear the plop of an envelope through the door where somebody has taken the effort to write a note. All practical love. And this morning, I read that passage from John 13. Are we prepared to roll up our sleeves in practical love? Jesus did. He humbled himself and became a servant to those he had lived with in John 13. And when he gave his final teaching about the judgment day, he says these words to those who have demonstrated true Christian love. Come, you who were blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you in, and naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Notice Jesus is speaking to the righteous, those who have been made righteous by the blood of Christ, not by their own effort, but having been made righteous, they show their love by caring for the unlovely. Yesterday, Kath and Cyril put on that coffee morning for teen challenge. And let's be honest, the majority of us know so little about the drug culture of Newport, or the drug culture of the UK. But what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying there is that there are people in prison who need Christian love. It's a test of our Christianity. There is no place in the church for resentment. There's no place in the church for a demonstration of our selfish feelings. On the seats this morning, you will have seen the bookmarks. Please take these with you. The Cardiff Christian Bookshop have provided them in the hope to help you read, but also the offer on the back. But I don't want to push that this morning. I just want to show you what is written on that. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious, boastful or proud. Love is not rude or selfish. Love is not easily provoked and keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Friends, do we demonstrate love within the congregation? Do we demonstrate love amongst ourselves? And Paul goes on, and he drives this home. I was amazed by the applications that he makes here in verse 11. Aspire to live. In other words, have a goal to live. In what way? Well, to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your own hands as we instructed you. Now, you think, well, what's that got to do with Christian love? Well, as I pondered that the first of these requirements in the filling and the sandwich and the application of love, live quietly. Don't be an offence to other people. We're exhorted to pray for rulers who will prepare quietness for us. It was said of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not quarrel or cry out aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. We are not to have a boastful, brash attitude, but we demonstrate our love by the quietness and gentleness. And the second element, to mind your own affairs, that might seem strange. What's Paul saying there? Well, I like the NIV translation there, because it's more colloquial as far as the 21st century is concerned. Paul says, mind your own business. And we know how we use that term, don't we? It can be rather nastily at times. But Paul is saying, we have to be personally responsible. I was referring to this last week with regard to personal morality. But one of the arguments that I used at the beginning of my sermon this morning is people who say, you're a Christian, you've got to love me, you've got to do this for me, you've got to do that for me. Friends, part of our love is actually taking responsibility for our own affairs and not being a burden to other people. And then the third element here, to work with your own hands. And Paul is there saying, love is practical. One of the big concerns that I have in evangelicalism today is that somehow evangelicalism and academic study seem to go side by side. I've got no problems with academic study. But there's a way in which we can almost look down on the practical people. And one of the things I love about Emmanuel is the number of practical people. If something goes wrong in the church, I can say to some of our brothers, can you get that sorted for us? Others are helpful with the cars. And this is a demonstration of Christian love. And we are to use our gifts. The scriptures talk about men being filled with the Spirit and preaching, yes. But you go back to the Old Testament, and a man called Bezalel was filled with the Holy Spirit. What for? To build the tabernacle. You go to Acts 6, and you've got seven men who were filled with the Spirit. What for? To serve tables, to give out food, to distribute, if you like, Red Cross parcels, relief. Christian love is practical. So that is the filling, if you like, in the sandwich. And then the second slice of bread in this sandwich of Christian love. Well, we see that in verse 12. So that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Friends, the first priority of Christian love is within the Christian community. We are told in Galatians 6 to remember the poor, especially those who are of the household of faith. But if we demonstrate genuine love for one another, Paul is making it quite plain here that people who are outside of the church, they will see that we love one another and they will want to be a part of that love. They will want to be encouraged. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, he made a similar point. And he was explaining that our love for one another, in fact, becomes a witness. One of the things that has amazed me since my coming to Emmanuel is that although we've talked about evangelism, in a structured way, we have not got out there. We've not gone out into the streets. We've not gone out witnessing, knocking on doors. And I say that sadly, because I think it's something that we've got to get to grips with. But even though we recognize that failure, God is bringing people in. People are aware that we are here, and that's terrific. And our love is being demonstrated. Paul is writing to a church that was waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God willing, that is what we will look at next week. But these people were saying, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't need to be working. I don't need to be doing my garden. I don't need to be providing myself because he'll be back before we know it. And Paul says in his second letter, if a man is not prepared to work, then he shouldn't eat. And we are to have that love for one another. Friends, we are not to be blackmailed by the world. The world is not to say to us, oh, you're a Christian. Christians are to love everybody. And therefore you are to do this. Yes, Christians are to love one another. Christians are to demonstrate practical and spiritual love for one another. But the Bible nowhere says to us that we are to encourage and support what we would describe as sponges, people who are ready to live off us. We are to encourage people to take responsibility. Perhaps we are to give them the opportunity to do some work so that we might pay them or we might provide them with food. But genuine Christianity is not just in the head. We must believe the right things, but it is to be worked out in our lives. Christian love demands responsibility. Friends, this morning, I want to say to you, don't pretend to call yourself a Christian if you are not prepared to love and to serve others. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I want to say to you, come to Christ. Come to the Christ who set the example of love, who served others, and know the love of his forgiveness. May God help each of us to love one another within the church and to demonstrate that love to those who are as yet outside the kingdom of God. Amen.